I want to address the topic of Birchas Kohanim, which is something that is rarely addressed in its form. You know, that the Torah can be understood as Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, Pardes. We're going to focus today on Remez. I'm going to try to find various allusions, various Remazim in Birchas Kohanim. The Torah says as follows: Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, daber el Aaron veel benov leimor, kosevarchu es bnei Yisrael emor lehem. So we have the introduction, and what follows are three brachos: Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yer Hashem parav elecha v'chunecha, Yisrael Hashem parav elecha v'yosem lecha shalom. The number three is important, and we even mention it and call it the Bracha Mishuleshes. So one of the questions I want to address today is, what's the significance of the number three? Why are there three brachas? Bracha Mishuleshes. Number two, Chazal and the Rishonim already count the words in Birchas Kohanim, and they calculate 15 words. So we have three brachos and 15 words. And beyond that, they count letters. 60 letters make up Birchas Kohanim. And they say that's connected to Pasuk, Shishim Giborim Svivla, that it says by Shlomo Melech and Shir Hashirim, Mitoso Shel Shlomo is surrounded by 60 Giborim, connected to 60 letters of Birchas Kohanim. So maybe we'll get a grasp at what this represents. So we have again the three brachos, the 15 letters, I'm sorry, the 15 words, and the 60 letters. There's a postscript to Birchas Kohanim in the Torah, a kind of finale, and the Torah says, V'samu es shmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. And Chazal say that the word shmi here refers to the word Shalom. The word Shalom is actually the name of Hashem. What we would like to do now is begin our study by analyzing the name Shalom. We're going to start with the Kuznets of Magid, who himself was a student in his youth of the Nodeb Yehuda, which means he was not exposed to Hasidus, but later on, he became attached to the Magid Mimezrich, to Rebbe Eliel Melech, the Rebbe Eliel Melech Mizlizhinsk, and other great Hasidic luminaries. And finally, he was appointed as the Magid in the city of Kuznets, and many, many Hasidim surrounded him, were influenced by him, and amongst them were many future leaders of Hasidus. In any event, he's most famous for his work called the Avodas Yisrael. Now, by introduction, I want to say something about the paragraph here in Avodas Yisrael. This is back in Parshas Noach. I believe that this paragraph is really a study of Yisodei HaEmuna, of the fundamentals of the faith. The Rambam opens up his Mishneh Torah by giving us the Yisodei HaTorah, the Yisodei, the fundamentals of our faith. He speaks about the fact that there's only one Matsui, there's only one existing being, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything that exists only exists insofar as it participates in His existence, with a capital H. The Rambam goes on to tell us that if you are to imagine that God didn't exist, nothing would exist. On the other hand, if you could imagine that nothing else existed, God would exist. This is called Mechuyav HaMetzius. God is existence par excellence. This piece that we're going to study in the Avodas Yisrael is, I believe, an embellishment, although he doesn't quote the Rambam, but I think subconsciously he has in mind the Rambam, and he's going to expand on this, the fundamentals of our Emuna. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Shalom? That's his question. So he starts with a pasuk in Iyov, and we're going to see that some of the ideas that are reflected here in the Kuznets of Magid we'll find in the Kedushas Levi, in Rav Levi Yitzchok Mibarditcheva, and they all quote psukim in Iyov and in Tehillim. This pasuk in Iyov, of course, is very famous because we introduce it into our davening at the end of Shmon Esrei three times a day. Oseh shalom bimromav. God is considered shalom in the sense that he makes peace bimromav in the higher worlds. Ki balu mi rabbeinu nishmasam eden ki ein lecha davar nivra she'eino murkav me arba yisodos eish ruach mayim v'yofar. So the existing world is made up of four fundamental elements. Veheim, and these four elements misnagdim, they really work one against the other. For example, you take mayim and then you take eish. Obviously, the eish is put out by the water. On the other hand, if you take the ruach fans the flames. So we have what we call contradictory elements that work in opposite directions. If I were to be allowed to quote the ancient Greeks, the Greek philosophers, especially Heraclitus, were of the opinion that the entire universe is made up of thesis and antithesis, of antithetical elements that pull in different directions. And this is what Hegel, the German philosopher in the 20th century, built a lot on that. So here too, we see that there are four yesodos and they work against each other. But logically, how do we explain how these elements that make up the universe work in tandem? They are integrated to form one whole. That seems to be beyond our logical grasp. But the answer is that there's one power, there's one source, which combines them all. Mechabram v'kolam yachad. And that, of course, is the Adon Kol, the master of the universe. Therefore, God is called Shalom, because somehow, insofar as He is one indivisible source for all that exists, everything unites and integrates in Him. The Kashrut Tzemagid quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that we're very famous for. It's very famous for us because, again, it reflects itself this time in Birchas Kriyat Shema, Kulam Bechachma Sisa. The word chachma in Chassidus is interpreted to be a word that's a composite made up of two smaller words, koach ma. Now, you and I would have said that kulam bechachma sisa means that God created all existing things by virtue of His wisdom. But in Chassidus, kulam bechachma sisa means something else. What it means is that everything that's created appreciates and acknowledges chachma. Kulam bichachma means im chachma asisa. Everything is created and has within it chachma. See, we think of objects as either animate or inanimate. And of course, intelligence belongs to the animated part of the universe. But the Rambam has a perek in Yesodei HaTorah, which my father forbade me to learn, because he said, you won't understand it. It's the only parak in all of Mishnah Torah. My father said, don't even bother learning it. In that chapter, in Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam speaks about an intelligence that belongs to the spheres and existing things, physical objects that belong to the universe. And that intelligence is a different type of intelligence than what we're endowed with. That intelligence is called Chachma. Chachma is an awareness, or shall we say an acknowledgement, that koach ma, let's explain what that means, koach ma. The phrase chachma koach ma is paradoxical, because it means two things which are really opposites one of the other. Let's explain. On the one hand, koach ma, ma means nothingness. Everything acknowledges that it is nothing, that nothing has true existence, that existence only belongs to one being. On the other hand, Koach Ma refers to the Koach that unites everything together, which is the existing being. Let's read the Avodas Yisrael inside and try to analyze his words. He says the following. Kol ha-masiv, the arba yisodos nivramim koach ha-istaklus. They all, every existing being has this power of observation. Lahabit kol davar, to understand and appreciate that everything that exists. Mahu, ma means nothing. Hu efes v'ofes, its nothingness compared lifnei mechololo to its creator. So every existing thing, not just you and I, intelligent beings that walk on the face of the earth and have brains, but everything in the universe understands or appreciates, he calls it histaklus lahabit, everything knows that it is nothing. Whatever it is only because God wills it to exist. And therefore, muchrach, every existing thing is compelled, lishmar pkudas yotro, to fulfill the will of God, the command of the commander-in-chief. Asher sum bekirbo, which God placed in its essence. So in the essence of every living, every existing being, is chachma, kulam bechachma sisa. Every existing being has chachma, and chachma means an acknowledgement of the fact that, let's say if I would represent one existing thing, I'm the moon, I don't exist. I'm a koach ma, means my energy, my power, my force is ma, is efes, is nothing. All I have is the ability to function and fulfill the will of God. So in other words, everything in the universe negates its own existence. That's called bitul mitziyus. So if you can underline those two words, those are the two key words in this entire presentation. And therefore, for example, if you take mayim, you take water. Water is ayin ve'efes. Water only flows in its natural state because God wills it to flow. In other words, if you take the water as a physical entity, then of course it exists as a physical entity. But there's some koach ma awareness in the water, some intuitive intelligence, if you call it that, that the water is mispashet migashmiyuso. The water strips itself of its own physicality and realizes that all it is koach ma. It'll become clearer, hopefully, as we go along. V'chvochein ha'esh, so to the fire, v'chein kulam. Now, what links all of these elements together? What integrates them into one whole so they can function in harmony as an organism? Al yideisha misyachdim u'mishulavim ishal re'eu b'pkudas yotzer, because all of them negate their own existence as an independent entity, and they integrate together, one to the other, to fulfill the will of God. That is the shalom that God joins together everything into one. He says you can see this most clearly in the higher worlds, the celestial worlds. We'll leave our physical universe, the Arba Yisodas, on the side for a minute. Let's climb up to heaven. Malachi Merkava, the Malachim, Gavriel, and Michael, take a look at their names. Says the Kushnitz, he says, Michael, who's on the right side, which represents the Midah of Rachamim, Mahalel, he's singing praises to Almighty God. Gavriel is on the left side, that's the Midah of Gvura, Memalel, he's also singing praises to God. Hagam, even though Shem Kochos Misnagdim, even though there are antithetical forces in the universe, Zeos Chesed, and this one is Gvura, nevertheless, Shalom B'mechitzasam, up there in the heavens, they have absolute peace and harmony. There's no jealousy, there's no competition, there's no hatred or enmity. And why is that so? And the answer is because every Malach looks and becomes aware of its own power. Let's say, for example, in the case of Michael, he becomes aware of his power of chesed, or in the case of Gavriel, his power of gvura, and he realizes that it's not really his own, essentially it's not his own. It's really just what God put into him. It's really nothing more than the will of his creator who desires that he should function. And therefore the name Michael is made up of two words. It's me, Ke'el, meaning there is no other, there's just God. No one else can do chesed except for God. My chesed is only insofar as God is animating me and energizing me, but my source of power is God. Gavriel, also take apart the name. There's Gvura and there's Ke'el, Aleph Lamed. What it means is that the Gvura comes from God. Without God, there's no Gvura. And therefore, each one of these celestial entities, of these Malachi Asharis, is Batel B'mitziusam. He doesn't take anything independent and brag about his own identity. But rather, all he has is Ratzon Abore, the desire to fulfill the will of God. And therefore, we say in Davening and Birchas Kriyat Shema, Nosim B'Ava Rishus Zelazeh. They each give rishus one to the other. We're working in tandem. We're all together, harmonious, as one organism, and therefore, b'neihem shalom v'reus. There's no such thing as controversy in the upper spheres, because each malach is mevatel his mitzius to the one power and source of existence, to Almighty God. But down here on this earth, nifradim lamata, every single being down on this earth is physical and has its own identity, and each one, kolechet misnase, each one is trying to build himself up, you know, wave his flag, lomar, as if to say, ani astareh mimachmas chachma shebekirbi, I have intelligence, I should lead the pack, and that's what creates the opposite of harmony. And therefore, what is the ultimate goal? Oseh shalom bimromov. God certainly has peace in the upper worlds. In the lower worlds, however, there's shokachim miderech ha'emes, v'tovim miderech ha'emes. They don't realize that the yotzer, that the creator, is giving them power, is the source of their energy. The maskilim, the ones who really have a deep awareness, and are mevatel lemetzius, are up in the Shamayim B'Meromim, they understand and appreciate Ki Ruach Hashem B'Kirbam, Hu Amachayes Kulam, Hu Misnagim Kirtzono. God is the source of their existence, and therefore they implement His will in this world. Shalom V'Ava B'Machnosam. In their camp is peace and love. But we ask, Oseh Shalom B'Meromav, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Shalom. His name creates Yira Upachad. Yira Upachad here, which literally means fear and trembling, is to be interpreted as the desire to fulfill God's will. So if Bimromov, God is Shalom, shall we say Befal in actuality, God's element of Shalom is tangible, it's obvious, it's apparent. Here in this world, we live in a world where each member, imagine, I'll give you a mashal, imagine a company. So you have the CEO, he's the commander in chief. But then you have the workers. If each worker thinks of himself, oh, I have to build myself up, I'm very unique, I'm very special, then he wants to fulfill his will rather than the will of the commander in chief. That's what undermines peace. That creates disharmony and disunity. But as long as all the members of that firm, all the employees are working on behalf of the commander-in-chief, and they're mevatel them mitzius to his ratzon, then you have harmony and peace. The oneness of God is called shalom because it unifies everything together. As long as this bittul b'mitzius, as long as everything that exists recognizes and acknowledges that God is the one, then there's shalom. He is the source of everything. He exists, I don't. I'm here just to fulfill His will. my ratzel, my will, is worth nothing compared to His divine ultimate will. I would stop now, Joe, for a question, just that I want to throw in the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mardishvili, lived almost year for year at the same time as the Kuznetzer, and it's amazing how all of Hasidus that branched out from the Magid and from the Besht and the Magid, they all speak about the same concepts. He says the pasuk in Iyov, a different pasuk in Iyov, Vayomer laAdam Hein Yiras Hashem uChachma. So once again, we focus on three words here. First of all, we want to understand what the word Hein means. Secondly, the relationship between Yira and Chachma. And he suggests the following: Hine Habore Yisbarach Shmo Oseh UPoel Hakol. The Creator is responsible for all the energy and all the activity in the universe. And therefore, when the worlds, all the worlds and universes, look at their source and ask themselves, where do I come from? They become aware that in their essence, they have nothing. Elam klum, they don't have any existence independently. Rakol chiyusam humeis habore baruch hu. Their entire life, their existence and their force of life comes from the Creator. That is called Yirav Afachad Chil Uraadi Ochezun. He's paraphrasing the language of the Python in the Sanatokev. They are overwhelmed by fear, meaning that awe that I have nothing for myself. I'm only existing because of the Bore. And the Bore, if you turn to page 2, Hu Bara Ba'olamo Dvarim HaMisnagdim Zelazeh. And again, he mentions the fact that there is an entire constellation of energy forces, of elements in the universe that fight one against the other. But that's only Kishem Estaklim Al-Atzmusam, when they look at their special, unique, independent personality or character. But Aval Kishem Estaklim Al-Sharsham, when they look back and they ask, what is my source? Where do I come from? Then they realize they get their life force from one, and that's the one of God. And then Hein Biachdus Gomur, they're all unified together. He says that's the word Hein. The Gemara, I don't know why he quotes Rashi, the Gemara says it explicitly in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that the Greek word for one, for the number one, is Hein. Hein, or one, means Achdus, total unity. And with Achdus comes Yiras Hashem. The unity is a reflection of the fact that everyone sees that God is the source of energy, source of life, of existence, that it's God's will that they have to fulfill. That's the Yira. And that Yira is generated by Istaklus Bersharsham, when they look at their source. And that creates Achdus, because they all come from the same source. They all come from the number one, one with a capital O, which is called Hein. And therefore, if we go back to the pasuk that we began with here in the Kedushas Levi, Vayomer Liodam Hein, one, God is one, is Yiras Hashem uChachma. Chachma is the awareness that there's only one, that everything owes its existence to that one. And therefore we say, Oseh Shalom Bimromov Uyaseh Shalom. Oseh Shalom means true peace should now become peace, true peace b'meromav, where in the celestial spheres, the angels are always looking at their source, they're always aware of God as their source, therefore they're always working together, b'achdus. That should become shalom down here on this earth, when every existing being on this earth acknowledges that there's one single source of all its existence, all its power, and that unifying force is one. So my friends, when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, God is one, which is the fundamental of our belief, what it means is that all comes from Him. And as long as all which is everything and every individual, every member, every existing thing and person is aware of the fact that there's one, then there's shalom, then there's peace. Okay, Joe, now you want to ask something?
The concept is something that if they hadn't been living with the Rav over the years and explaining the Ramban and the whole concept of that that inanimate objects actually have thoughts, right? Then nobody's going to understand this.
Right. But again, you know, instead of using the word thoughts, you could say that there is some sort of power of what we call chachma, kulam v'chachma sisa, that is inherent. Again, it's not our thought process; it's some sort of an extension of godliness. Everything in the universe is given existence by the source of existence, and is therefore aware, in some sense, if I can use that instead of thought, but acknowledges or is aware of its source of existence, and understands, again, that's a more difficult concept here, that it's here just to function on behalf of God's will. Every step, every time the sun, every revolution of any body in the heavens is only an expression of God's will. Right, kula v'chachma sisa, and that's if you look in Kel Adon that we say on Shabbos in the morning before Kriyat Shema, you'll see that idea over and over. Sasim u'smechim lasos ritzon kona, and we're talking about the spheres in the heavens. They are in effect fulfilling the will of God, and up there there's shalom. The problem is down here when we are in denial, when we refuse to be mevatel our mitzius, we see ourselves ba'atzmusenu as a separate independent mitzius, and that's what we want to project. We're not ready for yira, we're not ready for a reverence to accept the will of God and to completely nullify our own existence as something separate from God. We want, shall I say, autonomy in order to legislate our own laws and so forth and so on, and this goes on and on, but the bottom line is we ask Hashem to make shalom down here in this world. So when we complete the Birchas Kohanim by saying V'samu Eshmi al Bnei Yisrael, we're talking about the Shem Shalom, the source of Achdus, of unity, and we're asking Hashem to bestow that Midah of Shalom on His people, on the 12 Shvatim, so that they work together. I want to study with you the Malbim and the Sefer HaTanya, and show you that they're both working, I think, with the same premises, coming from two different worlds. The Malbim says the following: why is the name of God Shalom? And he answers, because Shechinas Hashem, he hachut hachores kol avnei chefetz abonimus olam v'amakashos l'agurachas. The Malbim offers a metaphor. If you're in the field of construction, then if you build a fancy building, at least at the time of the Malbim, you construct that building with something that he calls Avnei Chefetz. Avnei Chefetz are beautiful stones. Now these stones join together and form a structure, hopefully a beautiful architectural building. He says in the same way that the Avnei Chefetz are pieces of a puzzle, all of which fit together to form one whole. So in the Nimshal, the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that chut, that underlying connection that puts together all the pieces of the universe. What is Makasher, what connects the entire universe into Aguda Achas? That is Hashem. He's called Shalom because His Shechina is what joins us all together. And again, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but many times we've had opportunity to speak about Shabbos and the greatness of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of Shalom, and the reason for that is because we're endowed with the Neshama Yisera that gives us a different kind of histaklus. We have an observation or perspective on the world in which we see divinity, and therefore this achdus, kigavna. You know, those who say kigavna know what I'm talking about here, right? This is such a major concept in Judaism, and the Shekhinah is what links us all together. That's why the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash is so often connected to Shabbos. Both of them represent connecting the people together through the Shekhinah. It's the power of Shekhinah that connects us into one whole. And I see a very similar idea in the Baal HaTanya when he says, he gives a mashal, he says you have two offices in the king's court, in the palace. How do they work together in unison? He says there's only one possible answer to that question. And that is Lifnei HaMelech. What do we mean? Lifnei HaMelech means that they're mevatel their mitzius. Again, the same exact phrase that we saw earlier. They completely negate themselves because they subjugate themselves to the true existence. And here he quotes a concept from Kabbalah, which again, you know, I'm not anywhere near understanding Kabbalah, but there's something called an abstract idea. Like you have the Esrog down here, but then you have the Esrog up there. The ideal perfect Esrog. You have a rose down here, and you have the perfect Shoshanah in the heavens. The Esrog, he says, down here on earth, is subject to all kinds of movements. It's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Susceptible?
It's volatile, yeah. It's susceptible, but what was the word I was looking for? We'll use the word susceptible. I had a different word in mind. It doesn't matter. To all sorts of different elements and factors, kar, v'chom. However, in its source, the esrog, in its shoresh, in the ultimate light above, in the higher worlds, that is Bechinas Hiskalalus. It has everything together. And therefore, we don't divide it into kar and chom, you know, coldness and heat and so forth and so on. So, in other words, when the physical universe is Mishtalshel, it comes down from the higher worlds, then it subdivides into, you know, like a prism, it subdivides to its various forms and colors. But in its Shoresh, up there, you know, close to the Shekhinah, it's all one that he calls Bechinas Hiskalus. I see something similar in the Sukkot Shavuot, in the Shem Mishmuel, back in Parshas Vayera, when he speaks in the name of his father, the Avnei Nezer, about the Gemara in Shabbos that says that if you have a choice between spending the last dime that you have on a Ner Shabbos, or using that money for other mitzvahs like Kiddush or Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbos comes first. Why? Mishum Shalom Beis. There's a concept called Shalom Bayis. What is Shalom Bayis? So the Sukkot Shabbos says the following. During the 6 days of Maisa, a person is a split personality. He's goof and he's nefesh. And they sort of pull in opposite directions. And therefore there's no shalom, there's no peace, they don't recognize each other. Ha-nefesh moshaches lamala, va-guf ha-chomer lamata. Ach, b'Shabbos, he says, something else happens. And what is that? He says, the Gemara tells us, afilu ama'aretz, even someone who's ignorant of the Torah, emas Shabbos, he's afraid of the Shabbos. Shabbos engenders a sense of ema. Ema means accepting subservience or being subjugated to the will with a capital W of Almighty God. That's ema. That's reverence. Ein hagufa chomer moshchim. They're not, the body and the physicality of man is not powerful enough now to pull you down. And therefore, it sort of accepts the nefesh as supreme. And when the goof is secondary and the nefesh is primary, that's when we have shalom. That's the concept of shalom bayis. So again, Rabosa, even though we interpret shalom bayis in terms of family harmony, and that's true, but in its source, in abstract terms, the concept of shalom bayis goes way beyond family relations. It enters into this world in which we all have reverence for Almighty God. We're all mevatel agashmius in front of Him, aratzon in front of Him. And therefore, there's no longer a split personality, a battle within ourselves between the nefesh and the guf. Now, I want to talk to you about a chiddush of the Belzer Rebbe. Not the last Belzer Rebbe, but the one before that, Reb Shalom. And he analyzes the psukim in Tanakh. He has one pasuk in Sefer Shmos, and he's got two psukim in Tillim. All these three psukim speak about the concept of pedus. Pedus means redemption. When someone or something is alienated, it's far away, you have to redeem it and bring it back. And he says that these three psukim respectively reflect on three types of golios, of exile or alienation, and we beg Hashem for pedus, for redemption, for these three types of alienations. I'm going to call your attention to the third category. Let's go through all three. First, he says, V'samti pedus bein ami u'bein amecha, God promises to redeem us from our Egyptian taskmasters, our enemies. He says that refers to the kind of golus where the Jews find themselves in exile amongst the nations in various countries in the world, and God says, I promise you, I will redeem you from these nations. So that's one kind of redemption. That's one kind of geula. The second is much more difficult, and that is when Jews find themselves amongst other Jews, and yet they're subjected and they're alienated. That's a terrible thing, he says. And when one Jew subjugates another Jew, on that golus, the pasuk says, this is already a pasuk in Tehillim, Pidus shalach la amo. Amo shalom, meaning when we are in golus amongst our own people, our own brethren, then we really need a tremendous Yeshua, a tremendous geula and pedus. But says Rav Shalom, there's a third type of golus, and that's the most severe of all of them. And that's the golus of a Jew from himself. He's alienated from himself. He finds himself ensnarled, trapped in a world of guf, of physicality, of taiva, of pleasure and gashmius, of his biological hedonistic pleasures. And that alienates himself from his true nefesh. And for this geula, from this golus, man has to work very hard himself. What he needs primarily is koach hitamtzut. He needs an absolute strong power, gedolos. He's got to muster up a lot of energy to fight this, to make sure that his nefesh is primary. On this kind of golus, the Torah promises, again a pasuk in Tehillim, the harbe mofdus. Imo means within himself. He asks Hashem for help, for divine aid, for chizuk. And therefore, David HaMelech concludes this section by saying, Hu yiftes Yisrael mikol avonosov. Here it's avon, it's chet, it's sin that alienates man from himself and creates a split personality. If this be the case, my friends, we understand very well the concluding words of the third of the three brachos of the Kohanim, V'yaseim lecha shalom. Look at that word lecha. Just as the Sefer Vayishma Moshe points out that in the Pdus of David HaMelech, it says Imo, because he needs to find Pidus from himself to reconstruct his personality and join his pieces together into one whole. So too here it says V'yaseim lecha shalom. The bracha that the Kohen bestows here in this third bracha is that there should be shalom, a person with himself. Shalom between his guf and his nefesh. Shalom as a result of the fact that his nefesh reigns primary. His nefesh becomes the melech, the king, that subjugates a secondary element, the guf. If it becomes the soul over the body, then man enters into a concept called, or achieves, his batlus l'ratzon Hashem. He's mevatel himself. His nefesh desires bittul. His nefesh belongs to the meromim, the worlds in which everyone, everything acknowledges that God is the source of its power. God is the source of its energy. That's called bittul ritzono lifnei Hashem. And automatically, there'll be shalom. We've got to start shalom with lecha shalom. That's what we have to work on. That's the greatest blessing. If the blessing is lecha shalom, then we can go beyond that. The pasuk says, ki ata shalom, ubeischa shalom, v'chol asher lecha shalom. If we start with lecha shalom, ata shalom, if a person can make peace with himself, or she with herself, and then it moves out like concentric circles that expand to beischa and kol asher lecha, we have to first and foremost be in harmony with ourselves via same lecha shalom. And if that be the case, I think we can interpret the number three and why there are three brachos, bracha meshuleshes. The Maharal Prague says over and over again that the number two represents two lines that are parallel to each other. And if left alone, they will never ever connect, because endlessly they go up or they go down. We need to add a third line to connect those two. That's the number three. Says the Maharal Prague, the number three symbolically alludes to harmony, to taking two distinct objects, which at the face of it are irreconcilable. They fight one with the other, pulling in different directions. And to bring them together and into one division, into one indivisible unity, that's the number three. That's what we ask Hashem, give us a bracha mishuleshes. Our bracha mishuleshes will be the bracha of shalom. And if that be the case, Rabosai, I think we could shed a brand new light on the Medrash Rabbah at the beginning of the Torah. Eile toldos hashamayim v'aretz behi baram, and Rashi quotes this, al tikra behi baram el behei baram. And the Medrash establishes, and it's a sugi menachas we've mentioned in the past, that God created two worlds. Ki bekat sur olamim, there are two worlds. And they were created by Ka, which means Yud, and then a He. The He was responsible for creating this lower world, which is called Olam Hazeh. The Yud belongs to Olam Abba. Yud represents just a little point. It doesn't take up any space. It's purely spiritual. It's Olam Abba. It's infinite. And the Medrash is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two worlds. And those two worlds represented by the He and the Yud and the He, can be brought together to form one entity. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen in Parsha Shlach Lecha, which we're going to get to in just a few weeks, when Hoshea ben Nun's name is converted to Yoshua, God adds a Yud to his name, says Reb Tzadok, what does the Yud represent? The Yud represents the Machshava and the Chachma of Hashem Yisbarach. Meaning, there is Chachma in this world. But as we said before, Kula Mechachma Sisa, Chachma comes from Almighty. And therefore, with this name of Yud and He, God creates both this world and the next world. Nivra Olam Hazeh, this world was created with a He. V'Olam Haba was created with a Yud. When the pasuk says Ka Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, that was the brach that Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed upon Yoshua by adding a Yud to the He, and a Yud to the He makes his name Yoshua. Ya Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, the Yud K means the chibur of two olamos, meaning the recognition that there are two worlds. There's this world and the next world. That's the main point of shalom, of connecting the two worlds, the world that pulls us above, closer to the source of sources, to a world of peace, and the world that pulls us down this way because of the physicality and the desire upon each person to make a mark for himself, to be independent. In other words, how do we achieve the level of shalom in which there's peace between this world and the next world? It's got to be through Hisbatlus to Hashem. All the oneness and all the peace is in God, is in the Shechina. That's the Yud Kei, that's the shalom, that's the peace and the harmony. And that can only be achieved through Hisbatlus. When a person says, I understand, I appreciate, I acknowledge that all my existence comes from God, any will that I have is subservient to His will, in that sense we are all together, we're all unified. Man has to find unity within himself. He first and foremost has to turn to himself and fulfill his personal obligation of Yud Kei, of combining the two worlds. Then he can move out to his bias, and from his bias to make an impact on the entire world. And that's why there's only one letter in the Torah, only one letter in the alphabet of the 22 letters of the alphabet that represents the number one, the unity, the indivisibility, and that's the letter Samach. Because Samach is a round letter that doesn't allow itself to any sort of subdivision. There are no pieces or segments that are pulling apart. And that's the Bnei Yisrael is famous for saying that there's one letter in the Aleph Beis that doesn't have any pirud. There's no division, there's no divisiveness. That's the letter Samach. And if that be the case, my friends, we can understand and appreciate very well that Birchas Kohanim has 60 letters. The number 60 is represented, of course, by the letter Samach, and that means Ichud Gomer, means absolute unification. The unity of the Samach is like the Aleph, or the oneness of Almighty God, the Hain Yiras Hashem. That's the secret of peace. And both the Malbim and the Tanya say together that it's the Shechina of Hashem, which is the Chut HaMakash that brings us all together. And therefore, V'somu Eshmi al Bnei Yisrael, if we achieve His Batlus, then we'll be Zochin to Shalom and Achdus. First, primarily, between man and himself, and secondly, between man and others. Yiratzan, as we enter into Chag HaShavuos, the night which here, where I'm talking to you from, is going to begin in about 3 hours' time. We come to the Ribbono Shel Olam with an honest, sincere, devoted sense of, I want to be Makabel. You're the Nosei Torah. I'm here to be Makabel the Torah. To be Makabel the Torah means it's Batlus. It means I ask Hashem to allow me to reach out to everyone and work together in tandem with everyone. We're all working for the same cause. We're all implementing the Ratzon Hashem. We all understand that Kulam Bechachma Sisa. And if that be the case, with that sense of Achdus, of dedication to the number one, to Hashem Echad, we'll achieve, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, the brachos of Birchas Kohen and the Bracha Meshuleshes, the three that are one, the 15 words that represent all the protection that we need in the world of Malchus, the 60 letters that represent the perfect Samach of Ichud Gomor, and then it'll be Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad, that Kabbalas HaTorah with His Batlus and with Yira Kichil Urad Yochezen will project us Emir Tzashem for the entire year to come, so that our Ratzon will be His Ratzon, our desire and will be His will, and together we'll work as one entity. Be Achdus Gemura, Keni Ratzon. Amen.
Amen.
Chag Sameach, everyone. Tonight I'll give one shir, and then Emir Tzashem before Mincha tomorrow another shir, and then we're back to Chol after that because we don't have 2 days. So on Thursday I'm back to my Shemitah shir, and then over Shabbos another 3 classes, and Baruch Hashem, we're going strong. We're working hard. We finally got over jet lag, and we're getting into it. Wish everyone hatzlacha, chag sameach. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.